I love worship. I love every part of the gathering of the body, the assembly together. I love the joining of bone upon bone and sinew upon sinew and the coming together of the assembly of the body, as we were just talking about, the streams. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. And I'm thankful for the streams in this church that come together to make one flow of the river of the Holy Spirit this morning. You know, Ezekiel saw a river. And he said, and I stepped into my ankle bones. My mom sings a song, Wade Right In. She's preached this sermon many a time also. He stepped into his ankle bones. And he said, then he went a little bit farther and he stepped into his knees. And then he went a little bit farther and he got into his hips or his thighs. And he went a little bit farther. And then it was a river that had control. How many know, as long as you still have control, you still get to choose where you go. But when you get deep enough in the water or in the river, you don't have choice any longer. The water carries you where it wants to carry you. Anybody ever got hit by a wave in the ocean? If you have not, you haven't really lived yet until you get turned upside down, topsy-turvy. Sand in every part of your being. Hair up on top of your head where you can't see. And what happens, Dan and I got hit one time with a wave and didn't see it coming. How many know sometimes you just don't see it coming? You just don't see it coming. And it hit us and knocked us both down. I'm reaching for him. He's reaching for me. I had no idea if I was going north, south, east, or west. My hair was up over the top of my face. And there was sand everywhere. And I was like, I'm done with all this fun for the day. How many know sometimes when the waves hit you, you don't have the force to resist it? Amen. And you know, I think my desire in the Lord, you know, in this season of my life is, Lord, let your water carry me whithersoever you want to carry me so that I no longer have control over it. That I no longer have control where you want to take me, where you want me to go. I prefer you don't turn me upside down. How many know sometimes he does? Or it seems like he does. Seems like life hits you sometimes and it turns you upside down. But aren't you thankful for the power of God in your life? That's the kind of power I want to manifest in my life. The power of an endless life. The power of submission to his will. That says, Lord, I'm just going to step in. And I want your will, your purpose to carry me whithersoever you want to carry me. And let your will be done in my life. Hallelujah. And I believe that is our desire. I believe God will do supernatural things among us. I believe God is doing supernatural things among us. Hallelujah. I am so stinking happy that Joe has had a good report that I could just jump up and down. Amen. We need to give God praise. We've seen some miracles and we've seen some manifestations and healing in this house. I'm thankful for that. Amen. And I'm not done. And I'm not done with that. Hallelujah. I believe we serve a great big God. Amen. Amen. Joe and I are going to jump upside down together. I don't know about upside down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing. Thank you for manifestation of your glory in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Shirley giving thanks for God saving her kids. They hit a tree head on and totaled a car. Had it been not for airbags and Jesus, they probably wouldn't be here. So thank God. They're banged up, but they're going to be all right. Hallelujah. Faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Everyone has something to be thankful for. 40 years for Miss Wilda. Miss Wilda's almost been here as long as I have been.
Richard
My dad led Richard to the Lord. And we're just thankful the Lord sent her here to Word of Deliverance. Amen. And she's been with us ever since, probably one of our longest, if not the longest, other than family. Probably one of the longest members attending this church. She has been a faithful member and giver of this church. And I honor her today. She's a licensed minister through our church. And we just bless Miss Wilda and honor her this morning. Thank you for saying yes, Wilda. Thank you for saying yes. You know, I was torn between two sermons this morning. One was the power of yes. And this one. So we're going we're going to go this direction. We'll see. They may all tangle up together. You know how I am. And I don't have a title for it yet because I'm not sure what emphasis I'm going to put on it. But I'm supposed to speak at the women's conference in Rocky Top, Tennessee, coming up in November, and the theme of their conference is the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And so I've kind of been looking into that and studying into that, and so that's what I'm going to share a little bit on that this morning. But it's interesting that I got a text this week, and somebody mentioned to me something about a breakthrough, and I looked it up, and lo and behold, the scripture and the part that I'm going to talk about tied in with Scripture I had already been looking into. So God knows what He's doing. Amen? God has things under control, and He knows what He's doing. And so we're going to just going to see how it all tangles up together. But I want to go to Revelations chapter 22 and verse 1 through 5. I'm not normally a Revelations preacher. That's not my assignment, but thank God for all those who are. But I want to start out there, and that's where the Scripture comes from, the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. And how many know a lot of times people, they stray away from the book of Revelations, or they veer away from the book of Revelations, one, because they're afraid of it, two, they don't understand it, and three, they just don't see how it connects with life most of the time. But I believe the key, the icon, the door that opens the book of Revelation is in the very beginning of the book of Revelation. It says, "This is the revelation of Jesus Christ." So in reading the book of Revelation, what you got to understand, it is the revealing and the revelation of the work and person of Jesus Christ. It is a picture of the finished work of the cross. And what it does is go back and pick up all the icons, all the symbols, and all of the things from the Old Testament, the tabernacle of Moses, on through the priesthood, and all the way through, and it culminates in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. I believe it can be past, present, future, and there's a whole lot of debate you can do about it. I'm not here to debate this morning, but I do want to share some things that I believe that are keys, and then we're going to jump on and move from there. But it says in Revelations 22, 1 through 5, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life." We sang about that river this morning. How many are thankful that that river is pure? And it's full of life. We talked about being in the river. We talked about the power of the river. We talked about the power of life. And the scripture says, "And he showed me a pure river, a water of life." And we talked about us being the streams. We talked about us being the part of that river and the life and the power that's in the river. Amen? And he said, "It was clear as a crystal, and it was proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the tree of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse." Everybody say, "No curse." "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Somebody say, that's good news. Good news. Hallelujah. And I, you know, when I look at this portion of scripture, I look at it, and the, you know, we from in the Bible we look at the parallel and the pictures of it. And how many of you know that it all started in a garden? It culminated in a garden, and the finality of it is the garden. And when this in this scripture we talk about the book of Revelation, we're still in a garden. How many of you know that in the beginning, in Genesis, we see Adam and Eve in the midst of the garden. But how many know there was a tree of knowledge and good and evil, and there was a tree of life? Adam and Eve chose to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil as instead of the tree of life. And so because of that, you know the scripture, and they're put out of the garden. And the scripture says, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in that fallen state. Let's put them out of the garden. But the scripture says he put a cherubim and a flaming sword there to keep the way to the paradise of God or to the garden of God. Not to keep them out, but to keep the way back in. How many know we jump on over into the Gospels? We jump over into the time of the crucifixion of Jesus. And the scripture says he was buried in a tomb, in a garden. And when the and when Mary Magdalene came to see him, she mistook him for the gardener. She says, "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him that I might find him." And I love this because Jesus speaks her name and says, "Mary." They had talked to this point, but when he speaks her name, she realizes that this is not just a gardener, that this is an encounter with Jesus, and she cries out, "My Rabboni, my master." Hallelujah. And she realizes that the one who is the gardener of her soul is standing before her, but they've not taken his body away. It is her Rabboni. It is her master, and she cries out to him, but he says to her, "Mary, don't hold on to me. Don't try to hold me here in this state where you know me, but go back to my disciples and tell them that I am alive and that I am well." Hallelujah. I mean, no, there's an encounter once again in a garden where she encounters the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And then we get to the book of Revelations and we see that there's a tree of life that flows in the midst of the river. How many know the cross of Calvary becomes our tree of life? Let me say that again. The cross of Calvary becomes our tree of life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Hallelujah. How many know the cross came to give you life? How many can agree in here that I got my life back? Hallelujah. I got my life back when I come to know Jesus as my personal Savior. It's like playing country music backwards. You get your truck back, you get your wife back, you get your dog back. You guys missed all that. I mean, Jesus came because Adam and Eve had a failure in the garden. The scripture says in Romans, just as one man did it all wrong, one man did it all right and said yes to God and put us back in right standing and put us back in alignment with the Father so that we could have that life. He gave us life and he gave it more abundantly. Jesus is the source of my life today. And so the message that I believe of Revelation chapter 22 is that the message we preach must come from the throne, which I believe is also parallel to the mercy seat. How many are thankful for the mercy seat? That was a place of atonement. That was the blood sprinkling. That's where our sins were removed. Our sins were forgiven. We have a place of forgiveness in my life that no longer my past holds me back. I don't care what your yesterday looks like. Your tomorrow looks bright if it's in Jesus. And all of us can stand here and live in regrets and think about yesterday's problems, yesterday's sorrows, where we used to be or where we has been. But you might have been a has been, but you're not that anymore. Because when you come to know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're not the same old person you used to be. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. And then once all things become new, how many know we bury that old creature in baptism? and you're resurrected into new life. So I believe that everything that we preach must come from a throne or a mercy seat. It must come from a slain lamb, and it must come from the tree of life. And those are the pictures that we see in this picture in the book of Revelation. And the scripture says, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. How many here believe God can heal our nation? Some of us not convinced about that. Hallelujah. The scripture declares that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. How many know it's not just even about the Jewish nation or an Israel nation, but it's about the nations of the world? When Jesus gave the Great Commission to the disciples, he didn't just say, go to Jerusalem. He didn't just say, go back to your Jewish friends. He said, go ye into all the world now and preach the gospel. What gospel? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's shouting news this morning. Amen? So he came so that all could receive that. For God so loved. Hallelujah. You know, so many times we preach such an angry God. And we preach such an angry God. But can I just tell you, his wrath has been satisfied. The price has been paid for your remission, for your atonement, for your sins. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you more than you can fathom. Let me tell you, love is a force to be reckoned with. Love is a force to be reckoned with. Love will do crazy things. When you fall in love, you do crazy things. Thank you, babe. Hallelujah. When you fall in love, you do crazy things. You know, you stay up late at night and you talk on the telephone for hours and you spend money on flowers that you wouldn't do otherwise. And I hope you do all those things. And you buy chocolates and you do all of those wonderful things. But how many know it's driven by love? You don't think so much. You don't always count the cost. You don't so much think about it, but you are driven by the power of love. I'm so thankful for the power of love that even when I was unlovable, that he loved me anyway. That his love is more powerful than anything that I've ever done in my own flesh or in Adam. What Jesus did at the cross was way more powerful. And you need to know that this morning. There's nothing you have done in your own flesh or in your own carnal man or in your own sins that's more powerful than what Jesus did for you on the cross. But he said that the leaves of those trees are for the healing of the nation. And I believe that we are those trees. We are those leaves of that tree. We are the expression of God. We are the expression of Christ in the earth. The leaves of the trees. What a leaf is what is produced from the life that grows out of the tree. How many know you are the fruit of the life that comes out of the cross or the tree of life that Jesus died on? Hallelujah. He came that you might have life, and you receive that life by staying connected to that tree. Once a leaf disconnects itself, it starts to wither. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I believe that the life source of Jesus is in us, that we are the leaves of the tree that minister healing to all the nations. Hallelujah. The leaves are what grows from the life of a tree. You know, when I was thinking about nations, I was thinking about not just literal nations. And we can name the literal nations, but also imaginations, hallucinations, abominations, that there's healing for all of that. Did you start to say something? Is that what you're going to say? Hallelujah. It's not just the natural nations, but the nations, the high place, our mind. Sometimes the greatest healings that we need are not physical healings. They're not a natural pain. They're emotional healings, mental healings. in our mind, in our thinking, in our emotions, in our thoughts. Can you say amen? I mean, most of the time, you know, if you were really struggling with anxiety, if you were really struggling with despair or discouragement or depression, how many know sometimes it's easier to have a physical pain you can put a Band-Aid on or take a Tylenol for than it is to deal with emotional anguish? But aren't you thankful that the scripture says that we can have a renewed mind? That our mind can be fixed and stayed upon Him. That we can speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Hallelujah. So we have to sometimes train our mind, train our thought pattern to think on things higher than ourself. Think on things higher than our current situation. Think bigger. Think higher. Think on these things. It's easy to look at things that, again, like in the media or conversation, or it doesn't take very long to get a conversation with somebody that's down till they've got you convinced that everything is gloom, despair, and agony on me, right? The power of our words, the power of our conversation. But how much more powerful through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, the confession of the word that comes forth out of our mouth. That's why the psalmist said, I will hide his word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. That's why it's powerful to know what the Word says for yourself. That's why it's powerful to know what the Scriptures, to know the promises, to know that they are yes and amen. Hallelujah. That's what the Word says. So as you begin to speak those things to yourself, you're reminded of what the Word says. And it takes your thought patterns out of a realm of despair to a realm of victory. We talked Wednesday night in Bible study out of Romans chapter 8. For we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. Being more than a conqueror. And, being able to realize the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I gave him the illustration. You've heard this before. How many know Muhammad Ali was a conqueror? Y'all know who Muhammad Ali is, right? But Mrs. Muhammad Ali was more than a conqueror. When she went to the bank and cashed the check that Mr. Ali got, right? Because she didn't have to fight the fight for it. How many know we are more than conquerors because we didn't have to fight the fight for it? But we got to cash the check on everything that God promised us, and that victory is ours because somebody else fought the fight for me and still fights the fight for me. Hallelujah. He said, I will work, and who will let it? Hallelujah. So if we think of ourselves as the trees, as the leaves of the trees, and that those leaves are for healing of the nation. Hallelujah. That is, the leaves in this house this morning are for the healing of the nation. Do you know that you're a balm in Gilead? Do you know that you're an anointing oil? That you're part of the fragrance of this house? In the Old Testament, they had something called the art of the apothecary, where they would blend the fragrances together, and they would offer an incense, and it was calamus and cinnamon and myrrh and frankincense and all the fragrances. And when they would blend them together, they would offer an incense of sweet-smelling savor unto God. Anybody do any essential oils or understand about oils are real popular right now, and the peppermints and myrrh is an incredible oil to use. It, like, fixes everything. I told you I had a friend of mine who'd went to Israel, and she brought me back some myrrh from there. And I had a cold sore on my lip, and I thought, I'm just going to try that myrrh on my lip and see if that would just take care of that cold sore. And I put a little bit of that myrrh on my lip, and that burnt like fire. Made me think of that scripture. He took the coal from the fire and put it on his lips, you know, and I'm like, oh, Holy Ghost, help me, Jesus. And it burnt. But let me tell you, by the next day, the healing process, that cold sore was almost gone. How many know someone, sometimes God begins to apply the anointing oil or the balm of the house that'll bring healing. Sometimes it burns first. But if you'll just let it do what it's supposed to do, you might find out when you wake up in the morning, God's causing some kind of supernatural healing to take place in you. And I said, Lord Jesus, anoint my lips with your myrrh and let your healing virtue come. So that the only thing that ever flows out of my lips flows from myrrh and frankincense and from the balm and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I want what I speak, what I declare, and what I prophesy and say to be anointed and be from a word that flows from his myrrh and his frankincense. But how many know there's healing in that? And so what they do a lot of times with essential oils, they'll blend more than one together because they've got different properties. And see, I believe in the house of the Lord that we are a blending of his ointments. We are a blending of his spices. And that when we come together, we all have different talents and flavors and anointings and callings and giftings. Hallelujah. How many know there's something to be said for staying in your assignment? You don't have to be who everybody else is, but be the best you God has called you to be. Hallelujah. You don't have to do it like somebody else. Your anointing doesn't have to be behind the pulpit, but it might be. But it might be in some other dimension that the body must have to function according to the purpose that God has designed the body for. And boy, when we all flow in a unity and in the giftings that God has placed in us, maybe yours is a ministry of helps. Maybe you just have the ability to lift the spirits of people around you or pick up the phone and call somebody who's been out or hasn't been here for a while, who's sick or who's in need. Maybe that's your gifting. Maybe your gifting is in music or worship, or maybe it's in writing or poetry or the written word or whatever it is. Maybe it's just ministering in the place God has placed you in your job right where you are right now. The best thing you can do is bloom where you're planted. Hallelujah. Just be the best you can be. You don't have to be fake. You don't have to be anybody else, but you can just be what God created you to do. Hallelujah. Amen. The glands of the body. You don't see the glands, but they're important. Amen. 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 Circulation. Patsy talking about the glands of the body and how it causes things to flow and to circulate and how powerful that is, but they're unseen. Sometimes the unseen gifts are the most powerful in that they keep things working the way they should be. Amen? I'm moving around because we have a podcast, and if I don't get the microphone close to you, it just has this big, long space.
It's just like the natural body. Our hands don't do what our feet does. Absolutely. You know, our body functions according to the way we're made, the way we're built, the way that God has formed us. And, you know, if you're missing a hand or missing a foot, it's difficult for the body to operate. I know my house looks like a convalescent home right now because none of us can help each other. You know, we're all stuck in the same thing, you know. If you find something to eat, good for you. If somebody comes by and takes your trash out, praise God, you know. But the natural body has to function the way God made it, in the same way with the spiritual body. If you're the hand, be a good hand, you know. Stick your hand out there and let God use you. You know, if you're the kind of person that, you know, you can walk up to somebody and change their whole day, then walk up to them, change their day. But the natural body works and functions. And if it doesn't, you're in big trouble.
If there's a breach in the body, you know it. Amen. If the body's not functioning the way they need to. But how many are thankful that God has designed us as a body ministry, where every joint supplies, and the flow of the anointing, the leaves of the trees, are for the healing of the nations. And when you think about it in that respect, I mean, that's a responsibility to us to be a healing balm, to be that healing ointment that can flow. And think about the trees, and if we think about ourselves as the trees, I want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. I'll bring it up there. 2 Samuel chapter 5, 17 through 25, out of the Amplified. It says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to look for him, but he heard about it and went down to the stronghold. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly hand them over to you. So David came to Baal Perazim, and he defeated them there and said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. So he named that place Baal Perazim, or Master of Breakthroughs. The Philistines abandoned their pagan idols there, so David and his men took them away to be burned. The Philistines came up once again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up, but circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees, or the King James, I believe, says the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees or the mulberry trees, then you shall pay attention and act promptly, for at that time the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. And David did just as the Lord had commanded him and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. But the scripture tells us that he came to Baal Perazim and he defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. So he named the place Baal Perazim, Master of Breakthroughs, or Lord of the Breakthrough. How many are thankful for the breakthrough? Thank you, David. We're thankful for the breakthrough. How many know sometimes there, you know, and it says it's like the breakthrough of waters. And I thought about that in a lot of different ways, the breakthrough of waters. And I thought about if you have a clog in a pipe. You have a clog in a pipe, and all of a sudden, you get that Roto-Rooter thing in there, and you get that clog busted through. How many know there's a force that comes when the clog is removed out of the way? If you have a dam or water where you have the water dammed up, and all of a sudden, there's a break or a breach in that dam, and that water starts to come through, how many know there is a force that begins to happen in the breakthrough? When that water starts to come over out of there or come through there, there's force behind it. There's power in the breakthrough. Amen? And then another way I started to think about that is a woman who's in labor and her water breaks. How many know it's a release, but it's also preceding what's about to happen? How many know when there's a breakthrough of the water, you know that there's something behind it that's about to happen? There's some power coming behind it. There's some force coming behind it. When I had my second baby, I was in labor that night at church. And all through the night, I had labor pains, come back the next morning, drove the car to town, came back, knew I was in labor, nothing majorly happening, right? And Beth, at the time, she said she wanted a peanut butter sandwich. We still laugh about this because she never has been a big fan of peanut butter sandwiches. And I got up to go fix her a peanut butter sandwich. And when I did, my water broke. And then things start to change. They started to shift. And by the time I got to the hospital, they got me settled in. I could feel that the pressure was coming and the baby was coming. And the nurse said, well, I'm going to check you. And she said, she checked me. She said, oh, my goodness, the baby's head is crowning. Your baby's doctor is in a C-section. Don't breathe. Don't move. Don't do nothing. Just hang on. I'm going to call and see if the other doctor is still in the hospital. And if he's not, I'll deliver the baby myself. I said, it doesn't matter to me, ma'am, but one of you all better hurry up because I'm about to break through here. Something is about to happen. I feel pressure. I feel movement, and I feel something about to press through here. And then that day they move you onto the table, then they move you to another room, then they move you back from that table onto another table. And I'm saying, hurry up, hurry up, this baby is coming. And they get me on the table, and I said, hurry up. She said, you can push now. And when I pushed, the baby was there. How many know it may seem like you're in labor? It may seem like all you've produced is pain and struggle. And though it seemed like it might delay, but all of a sudden you start to feel a push and you start to feel something break. And when it breaks, all of a sudden behind it, there's a breakthrough of force and power because you're about to birth something beautiful and something that is living and alive and part of you. How many know sometimes we miss out, I believe, because we back off when we're about to the point where God wants to break through and God wants to push through. And he said, when you hear the rustling in the sound of the trees and when you hear the sound in the mulberry trees, I want you to know the move is on. The move is on. When you hear, he said, Lord, do you want me to go up against my enemy? He said, no, I want you to circle around behind him. But he said, I want you to listen when you hear the sound of movement in the leaves of the trees. One translation says, when you hear the marching of the angels in the trees, when you hear the marching of the sound of the host in the trees, then I want you to move because I'm about to give you a breakthrough. I'm about to bring to pass what I promised that I would do. I'm about to defeat your enemies where you are because it's the place of your breakthrough. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to start hearing a sound in the leaves? There has to be a rustling, a moving in the leaves of the trees because the leaves of the trees are for the healings of the nations. And when we begin to hear the movement of God among his people, and we begin to hear the rustling and the moving and the command of the host, and not just among his people. Here's what I love about this. He said, when you hear the sound of angels, feet and horses' hooves moving among the trees, then you're going to know it's a signal that I'm about to do something. Here's what's powerful about this. It's not just about the leaves in the trees, but when the leaves of the trees connect with the host of heaven and earth come together in purpose. How many know it's God's purpose to give us breakthrough and victory over every area in our life? Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Maybe sometimes you just got to listen for what heaven is stirring, for what the host of heaven is doing. Hallelujah. And begin to move with it. How many know the leaves started to move? And it was a sign to David. That's your sign that heaven has just connected with the leaves of the trees of the earth. And God is about to do something big. It's a time of breakthrough. Hallelujah. It's a time of breakthrough. Go ahead and push. Go ahead and push, because it's time to birth something. I believe God wants to birth something in every one of our hearts today. Hallelujah. When he comes over into the New Testament, Jesus comes and curses the fig tree. And he does it in connection with going into the temple and throwing all the money changers out of the temple. And those who bought and sold sacrifices, he said, because you have made my house a den of thieves, and my house shall be called a house of prayer. And what they were doing was saying, your money's not good enough. It's not temple money, but I'll exchange your money for a profit for myself. Your sacrifice is not good enough, but I'll sell you a sacrifice at a profit for me. And they were profiting off of of the sacrifices and the offerings that people were bringing in. And Jesus curses the fig tree and he says, no longer will you produce fruit from this point on. How many know he was talking about that religious system that'll rob or take from you? But if you ever just fall in love with Jesus, it's not about a religion. It's not about the name on the door. It's not about titles. It's about having an encounter with Jesus. Because then Zacchaeus comes along and he climbs up into a sycamore tree that the scripture says is an inferior fig tree. How many know those religious systems will always be inferior to what God is doing? But he climbs up in a tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. Why? Because I'm going to your house today. Hallelujah. I want to have a personal encounter with you, Zacchaeus. I want to go to your house, and every inferior fig tree you've been hanging out in from this point on has been done away with. And he has an encounter with the real tree, the tree of life. And here's what happens. Scripture never tells us. Jesus preaches at him, never rebukes him, never tells him he's going to hell, never tells him, man, you've been robbing the people, you are a tax collector, and you're no good, and you're a publican. He never tells him any of that. He says he just goes to his house for fellowship. And in the midst of communication and connection with Jesus, what happens? Zacchaeus stands up and said, you know what, I'm ready for change. If I've taken anything from anybody, I'm going to restore it back fourfold. Hallelujah. I mean, no, there's an encounter with Jesus. There's a change that comes. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, no, you can have a breakthrough from where you are. It may take you going out of your way a little bit. He said, when Jesus was going to pass that way, he said he looked to see who he was. I mean, no, I want to see a manifestation of who Jesus is. In this earth, in this time, and in this season. And my desire is to have such an encounter with him that he changes the very nature of who I am. And everything that preceded him was B.C. I mean, some of us got some stories in here that are B.C. They're before Christ. But when Jesus comes into the picture, he makes all things new. He doesn't make all new things. He makes all things new. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the BC season of our life. But let me tell you, the season that we're in right now, this side of the cross, is powerful. Hallelujah. And I believe as we come to understand that we are the leaves of that tree, and that we are healing to the nations. You know how you heal the nations? Everybody thinks you need to pack up and fly halfway around the world. Be a missionary. Give up everything that you have. And if God's calling you to that, God bless you. And do that. Go whatever God has called you to do. But the greatest way we will change nations is to start with your neighbor. Start with your house. Start with your children. If you want to make a change, start today. Make that change right here, right now. That's how we heal the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. As we begin to heal our homes, our children, our communities, our towns, our countries, and in our nations of the world. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that we're connected with people in nations all over the world that are preaching the same gospel of Jesus Christ. That the nations of the earth are hearing the gospel of the finished work and the grace of God all over the world. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that. I believe that we are a healing force, that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations, and God has commissioned us. Hallelujah. And when you hear the sound of the heavens connected with the leaves of the trees, it's time for a breakthrough. Amen? Anybody ready for a breakthrough? Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning while Beth comes to do a worship song. Hallelujah. So when you heard the rustling, the stirring, the moving of the trees, that means the breath or the wind blows upon those trees.